Channel R presents Rising Spotlight. Our in-depth series of interviews and music from our favorite emerging artists.
This week, it's rising new artist, Gia Ford.
Channel R Rising Spotlight starts now.
Hello, Gia.
Hi.
How are you? How's things going? You're on tour right now, aren't you?
Yeah, in Manchester, I've got a show tonight at Gorilla.
How's it going with it so far?
Good. We haven't really started, though, because we did one in Glasgow the other night, and then we had a day off today because I've got with loads of interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yesterday as well. So, yeah, it feels like I haven't fully begun, but it's been good so far.
Yeah, really, really good. Going down well. And your Poolside song as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's the most recent release.
Yeah. So is that going down really well? It should be. It's a good song.
It's going down well, yes. I've got some nice responses from it. So hopefully it keeps building in that direction.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And then you've got your back records as well. So you just sort of out with them. No newer ones than Poolside, is there at the moment?
Not yet, but there's one coming out. I think it's April 15th. So that's the next one.
Oh, that's good.
And then a few more after that.
Ah, and are you heading towards an EP or an album with all that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm not sure when that'll come out, but
no.
They're all part of one big project, basically.
Oh, that's good. Well, at least it's all going in the right direction then.
Yes, it is. It's really lovely at the moment.
Great. And you're enjoying the touring so far, the three nights you've had?
Yeah, I haven't actually, this is my first tour, so I haven't got a taste, I've never toured before. So I've not got a taste of like playing a show every night yet, but I think we've got three in a row now. So I shall soon discover what that's like.
So it's going to be plenty of rest in between then?
Yes. Well, you have to force yourself to do it. It's so easy to just stay out, but I don't know, my band are good. They're not wild.
That's good then. You don't want to burn yourself out, do you? That's the thing, on the first couple of nights and then be absolutely shattered for what's coming up.
Exactly. You have to think of your future self, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so I was listening to Poolside and I've read about you saying that you've done it from a perspective of a poor boy.
Yeah.
But I wondered what made you actually think about writing a song about a poor boy and his feelings, etc. And I mean, obviously, I see you've bought into it about the highs and the lows of a poor boy and everything. But how did that come about?
It came about because I had no original ideas of my own that day, and there was a coffee table book, and I wrote it with some songwriters, and she had a coffee table book, and it was just lots of photos of LA in the 60s and pools and stuff, and it was so idyllic, and I thought, what's the edge, where's the dark edge here, like what's going on beneath what you can see? So pool boy just sort of became the focus point for me there. He's got a dark character, he feels invisible to everyone around him, so I just thought he was a good person to inhabit and tell his story from his perceived perception, right? Really.
And sort of looking at how you would see, or how you would sort of like perceive that poor boys in that day were treated, or came up against.
Like as if to be seen, not heard, sort of thing. But it's just one idea of one, you know, imagined scenario. But I guess it ends up being a wider comment on society and that sort of situation, and service workers and all that. But I really like to find things that are beyond what you can see and try and explore that part of the story. So that was kind of the first one of those that I did.
Part of someone's dream life. love to watch you drown, sinking in the moonlight, moonlight, moonlight.
So in writing in general, is it observation with you? Is it, do you sort of like, is it all observational that you try and do when you're writing?
Yeah, I, most of the time I'm not, I prefer to write about either characters that I've written or just, things that I've picked up from, it can literally sometimes be a phrase or a sentence and I'll just build more of that world around it and sort of, it's basically just me finding a launch pad, what, like a concept, and then using my imagination to build on the story.
Have you been writing long? Have you been in the doing the singing and songwriting for long?
I think I'm not sure if I'd count the songs I wrote when I was a child, but I wrote silly things when I was a child. I think I started seriously doing it maybe when I was like 14 or something.
All right, okay.
And I'm 27 now, so it's been that long.
A few years then. And how long is it since you've, how long have you been out and about, you know, on the circuit and everything as well?
I've not played that many shows, actually, with this current iteration. I've got a band now. And with this music, I've only played about 14 shows altogether. And then before that, it was just open mic nights and stuff. I did the London circuit for a bit when I was about 19. But other than that, it's really, it's not been very long.
What is it that influences your type of songs and your type of music?
Not sure, really. I'm just always kind of attracted to, like, same with books and music, but just things that have a bit of a dark shadow to them and aren't too frolicky. I think I don't feel frolicky or happy, like, to that extent most of the time. Yeah. So it's more interesting to find something that's subversive. I don't know, really. It's like anything that kind of sparks my imagination makes me interested. It can be anything. It's not always dark.
No.
But it's probably a mixture of things. It's probably like all the music that I grew up with, which was very eclectic. I've had a lot of interviews today.
Don't worry. What sort of what bands was that then that would have influenced you, or artists that would have influenced your music then?
The ones that I remember the most are probably, my mum used to play a lot of Portishead. Like Dummy was like the family record on that side. And she played a lot of stuff like Queens of the Stone Age. She had a bit of a rock thing going on.
Right.
And then Kate Bush is like my favorite artist of all time, I think, and that she just reminds me of my mum. Because my mum has a great music taste, really eclectic, and they're all just a bit of a twist on the norm, I think. Maybe that's the thread that runs through them. There's an element of theatre and exaggeration to everything, and there's just something there that is subverting the normal story that you might want to tell, or that like maybe really pop music would tell. I tend to look deep at, like, under the surface of it as opposed to on it.
I was going to say, looking for that other side that other people don't look for.
Yeah, maybe that. I think that's it. And it's like Kate Bush literally wrote all the songs like that and just sort of saw things in newspapers and thought, oh, I'll write about that, you know. So, I don't know, it's all quite subconscious, I think.
Yeah, but she's got a very eclectic sort of range of songs, hasn't she? But, I mean, she's got a very good sound and
she's just unlike anyone else.
Yeah, she is. I don't think there's anyone like Kate Bush that I've ever seen since at all or heard.
No. There's people will try and do it, but I just think she's one of those artists that you can't, as soon as anyone tries to be like Kate Bush, it just is flat because she's just the only person that can do it basically, which is saying a lot.
Yeah. I think there are some artists that you just shouldn't try and emulate. You shouldn't try and be. Just leave them be. And she's one of them for sure.
Yes, for sure. I agree.
Yeah.
discovering the next big thing in music, featuring the hottest emerging artists. Listen Monday to Saturdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
So what was it that got you into the singing and songwriting? Did you, as you said, you wrote some little things when you were younger, but what was it that specifically that you thought, yeah, this is for me, that the music industry, the singing and songwriting is for me?
Music industry, definitely not the same thing, because it's no. Like quite brutal. But
yes.
I think I liked reading when I was a kid and I liked words. For a long time before I wanted to do music, I wanted to write books and I wanted, or be a journalist or something along those lines. I liked playing with words. And then I think because my family are so into music and we spent a lot of time listening to music, and when I started to learn guitar and I started learning songs and singing along to them, it all just sort of fell into place because, I had an interest in all the areas that is necessary for it. And then I just thought, well, that's quite fun. And it's a way to express yourself that isn't, you know, it's like word, it's poetry and it's sound and it's style. And it kind of, it allows you to create a little world for yourself, which I've always liked the idea of.
Yeah, because it can be however you want that world to be.
Yeah, I think I was a bit of a recluse. I still am. But when I was a child, I always wanted to be on my own and just create somewhere else to go. And I think this is like sort of, you know, you could do acting or you could do whatever, something else that takes you into a different world. And this is just one of those things, I think.
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it? It's that you can create your own, as you say, it's your own creative, it's your own view and your own
universe.
Yeah, which is great. And then obviously that comes across in your music. In a unique way for you then as well.
And you can relive those little, you know, being able to, it's kind of like, I've always wanted to write books, but it's such a daunting thing. And with songs, you can kind of relive that little story over and over again. And it can have many interpretations and it can, if you change one chord, the whole perception of the song can change. And I find that kind of amazing. And there's just so many opportunities to say so many things. It's just great.
Yeah. And also as well, people, I think more so with music and with songs, and I know you can, in a book, when you're reading a book, you can get into it. I mean, I love books, I love reading, and you can sort of put yourself into the story. But I find with music, everyone can have a different aspect of that song, or they can see different things in that, hear different things in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's so amazing about it, isn't it? It's like the interpretations are just endless, depending on who you are and what you're going through and what period of your life you're in. I've had people react weirdly to Poolside because it's got dark themes, and I think there's some people that are like, oh, why have you said that? And it just doesn't sit well with them because of whatever, and many other people would have a completely different take on it. So it's just great. It's just, there's so many angles that can come out with it. Yeah. I think that's why I went for that particularly.
That's why you went for it. Yeah, I was reading some of the comments that some people had put on YouTube about Poolside.
Yeah.
You're saying different things and asking different things and whatever. I'd read that. And it just shows you how people can see it from so many different angles and how people take it so differently.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. It's the best art form, obviously. I'd say that.
And it's good for you as well, isn't it? Because, you know, you get more coming back to that than you probably would from a book anyway, regarding people and the way they see it, the way they hear it, the way they, you know, they want to interpret
it. It's less exclusive.
Yeah, definitely. What sort of music do you like to listen to yourself in your own downtime?
It changes quite a lot of this, but at the same time, maybe it doesn't. I listen to a lot of the same music I've always listened to. I come back to, you know, Mezzanine by Massive Attack and Glory Box and Dummy by Portishead. Their records I always listen to, I've always listened to them. And then Kate Bush, Kick Inside, and Joni Mitchell. I've been listening to a lot of PJ Harvey at the moment, and a lot of Mazzy Star and stuff. It's really all over the place, quite a big collection of different genres. really.
It's good though, isn't it, when you have that? I'm like that. I listen to music going back to sort of, I mean, I love music going back to the 40s, 50s, right up till now, and all different genres.
Yeah, I've been listening to Billie Holiday a lot at the moment because I read that Lady Sings the Blues book, which was just incredible. And so listening to those recordings is amazing because you can hear the time that they were recorded, like everything kind of occupies the same sonic space. She sounds like the same as the saxophone in some of those songs. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, you can hear how old they're recorded, can't you? You can hear how old the recordings are and everything. It's like listening to the record on the record deck for the old record decks.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's so great to have access to those things so easily.
Yeah. There they are. I love all that sort of thing. I love going through all different music. I just find it, as you say, it depends on your mood as well, because there's so many songs out there, so much music out there, that whatever mood you're in, you can find something.
Yeah, for sure.
It's great, isn't it, that?
Rising artists, and check out more of their music at channelrradio.com/rising.
What have you found now then are some of the biggest challenges you're having to overcome with coming into with the singing, songwriting, and getting out there now?
It'll be different for everyone, but for me, I think it's social media. I don't get on with it. It's not the best atmosphere for me to be creative in. I like to sort of go into my own space, and I don't like to share every facet of my life with the world. And just because of the way that the algorithms are built, it almost feels like you have to do that. You have to constantly be on it. And if you don't want to share things truthfully, you have to come up with something that's not truthful. And I really hate being like that. I'd rather just not do it. I'd rather do it how it's classically done by playing shows a lot and stuff like that. But so that's probably my most personal struggle with it. And it's sort of expected of you to do it these days because it's such a massive, it has such a massive influence.
I don't think you're alone there as regards to some of the older,
totally.
Established artists. I don't know so much about maybe the younger artists, but I know there are some older, more, you know, established artists, groups, bands that don't, not all the members of that band do want to be on or do go on regularly. They may have an Instagram account, but and a Twitter account, but they really don't go on it much unless it comes to them ready to put out that we're going on tour or, you
well,
know,
yeah, yeah.
We're doing an album. And to be fair, that's fair enough. You know, if that's what you want to do, because at the end of the day, all you really need to do is give everyone the dates of touring and, you know, and the fans, the bits and pieces that they need. But you don't have to be on and be a social, it's not a social thing. You know, it's your job at the end of the day, although it's your something you really enjoy as well. Yeah. You shouldn't have to feel just, that way, really, should you?
I agree. No, and I also think I could talk about this forever and I don't have time to, but I don't agree with it really fundamentally because I think there's so many points that you can come at it from. It's like, it's not natural for anyone to be sharing that much of their process. And for, you know, musicians are recluses. We're like, you know, that's like a classic trope is that we are weird and we don't really like to do that sort of thing. And then also it kind of, I think the magic with so many iconic artists like Bowie or like anyone like Blondie or any of those classic people is that they had a mystery about them and you weren't allowed to know about them. You couldn't reach them. And it feels like that all those days are gone and it's like everyone wants to have complete access to you at all times and they want to see exactly where you are and what you're eating and it's just tiring. I don't like it.
I understand that. It's each to their own that way, isn't it? If it's for you, it's for you, but if it's not, it's not, and you shouldn't be judged by that, really, at the end of the day. Definitely.
I agree.
Well, I hope it all goes really well for you and you enjoy it all. And
thank you so much.
Good luck with getting all your music out there. Full Side's a really good one, so hopefully that will keep going really down, going down well for you. And I look forward to your new one. Let
Thank
us know
you.
When it comes out and we can get that out for
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. It's been so nice talking to you.
You too, Gia, okay? Take care.
Yeah, for sure. I will
Make
do.
Make sure you rest yourself.
You
Thanks
too.
Then. Take care.
I will
Bye-bye.
Do. I'll try.
Bye.
Go behind the music with Channel R Rising Spotlight. Our in-depth series of interviews and music from our favorite emerging artists. Podcast now at channelrradio.com/rising.